everyone, to the end of the first week of the year 2021. We are 1/52nd done, Brett. Is that correct?
John, it's 52.14 weeks in a year.
So we're part of the way through.
Moron.
Repeating. And I was sure that there were 53. Are there 53 cards in the deck? Because that might be what's confusing me. But anyway, Brett, thank you for being here to teach me about the world.
What a joker you are.
I'm serious. I thought there were 53. Anyway, what's the difference?
How many suits are there?
How many suits are there? You're talking about in spades? Cards? Yes, I understand. There's four.
So if you multiply anything by four, how could it be an odd number?
You're going way ahead of me. You're going way ahead. Shut up. Because the Joker, duh. Anyway, what do we talk? I think we talk about movies on here. No, politics. Okay, we're doing that now. So Brett Ehrlich, thank you for joining me on this daily morning political news show. We've got some pretty big developments in a week that included some highlights and lowlights, things like the Capitol being sacked and all of that. But anyway, very glad to have you here to join me in going over the president's new groove or tone or whatever, and some garbage people. It's gonna be fun.
If you wonder why a very porny thing showed up on your TikTok, you might want to refrain from saying the word sack if you don't have to.
Okay, that didn't need to be a part of the full show, but now it is, and there's no going back anyway.
You lead with the word voluptuous, you've lost all credibility. You need a Lindsey Graham
to launder
your image.
I like that word, I'm gonna use it more. Anyway, American democracy no longer so voluptuous. Anyway, thank you everybody for joining us. Regardless of where you are, appreciate you watching. Please hit the like button and share the stream if you haven't already. If you are on YouTube today, just in time for the Garbage People of the Week, we have a garbage person emote available to you, to our members of any tier. I can see some people, including Estacala, using it already. So get that ready, because Trashy is here. And we're gonna fill him up after one of the trashiest weeks in recent memories. I almost said year because it felt like it. But anyway, Brett, before we launch into this, do you want to let people know what's going on with some of our Twitch shows later on today?
Yes. Now that so Happy Half Hour is no longer on Fridays, it's now Happy Hump Hour, where might have to be a working title, and we do work it. On Wednesdays after post game, we do Happy Half Hour, and it lasted 2 hours last Wednesday because we got into some weird Tucker Carlson stuff, and apparently there was a lot of news to discuss. And now on Fridays after post game, we have Common Room, and today on Common Room will be myself, Adiana Vega, Aishwarya Nakhchaudhry, who's a producer on The Young Turks, and Ricky Strom, who I'm gonna meet tonight for the first time.
You're gonna meet him for the first time. So we got Ricky, who's brand new, and we've got Adiana, who I think is like basically a regular now at this point.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. She gets weird, and we appreciate that on the Common Room.
That's all you want. That's all you want is someone to get weird. Well, anyway, that's coming up later on today. What's coming up this hour? I'm just gonna do it. I'm not gonna spoil it. I'm just gonna do it. So let's just do it. Donald Trump, during the siege of the Capitol, had a couple of attempts to seem presidential, and he biffed it. The whole thing just totally biffed it. It was terrible. Then apparently he started to hear from some of his attorneys that the way he had been continuing to justify the actions that left four dead, including a police officer, which we'll talk about later, that he might be exposing himself to legal liability. And as a result of that, we now have the president's new tone. Let's take a look at it.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engaged in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay.
Okay, so effectively, did I say that I wanted you to sack the Capitol? That was my mistake and my bad. I'm sorry for that. But really fast fact check, I immediately deployed the National Guard. No, you didn't. No, you very, very, very much did not do that. But it does sound good as a preemptive legal defense that you did that, but you didn't do it. Anyway, we've got more on this, Brett, but what do you think about his new totally presidential tone? Is this the moment that he actually became president?
Yeah, finally became president with about a week, 2 weeks left. It's funny, like half of his cabinet has resigned. The other half has just put in their 2 weeks notice. Like,
yeah.
And they'll be out anyway. It's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's so stupid. In terms of whether or not he deployed the National Guard immediately, Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, is now actively saying, like, no, we had and continued for many hours to have 500 Maryland National Guard troops on the border, essentially waiting to go in and help out. And the federal, the outranking non-state people from the National Guard essentially told them not to.
Yeah.
Refuse that offer. And that's one of the many agencies that refused offers of help. Now I'm sure later in the show we'll go into the nuances of like
we will.
How weird it is with federal troops doing this kind of stuff. But the National Guard tried to help. And Trump in this specific scenario rejected it or was so incompetent and uninterested in any of this that it took going through Mike Pence for people to actually end up helping to put down something that this is what's so frustrating to me. He's like, oh, these demonstrators, already calling them demonstrators, defiled the seat of power in this country. No, you did. And anyone with half a brain was saying this is absolutely going to happen. This is exactly what he's saying to do. And to say that someone got in his ear that day and finally got through to him. No, he had every opportunity up until now. This is what everyone's always already been saying.
Yeah, which is why you didn't hear, you know, any like personal accountability. You didn't hear, oh, maybe I shouldn't have told them to fight like hell and march to the Capitol, like literally that morning. No, he wasn't involved at all. And that's pretty much what we've seen from everyone, no matter how involved they were. You know, people have been talking about how like Turning Points USA and Charlie Kirk bust like 80 groups in there. And now suddenly it's like, no, nothing like that. It was all Antifa, we didn't have anything to do with that. No, there's no accountability for anyone. In his continued remarks, which were just a couple of minutes, and he was very stiff, and he hadn't had anything to do with the writing of it, and it had been edited to within an inch of its unlife. But here he is previewing what the next couple of weeks are going to look like.
Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. And to all of my wonderful supporters, I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning.
Ugh, does it have to? But anyway, okay, so now there's gonna be a transition of power. It only took 10 weeks and let's see, 4 or 5 deaths and a couple $100 million that he raised, and God knows how much other Republicans raised. So if you want to, you can do the math and figure out how much money they got for each person they got killed. It's something like $250 million for each cop they got killed. I ran the math on that one. But anyway, now there's gonna be a transition of power. He's being very responsible about it and everything. So Brett, how much credit does he get?
He gets zero credit whatsoever. We're gonna focus on the seamless transfer of power. He was not interested in that until someone told him, no, you could go to jail for this, which he won't. They're not the party of law and order. They're the party of order, regardless of what the law says. They just want, they now want order. If they want law, if Trump wants law, he's gonna be sorry he asked for it, because he should be held criminally responsible for it. He's called for disorder, and the moment that it might bite him in the ass, finally, is also the moment that he's actually lost power. And look at everyone in Congress has turned against him. The minute he lost power, they completely changed their tune. And all the people who are voting against the certification of the election aren't doing it to protect Donald Trump. They never were, but they used to at least say they were. Now they're saying, no, I just want to focus on the future of all of this and securing votes. Anyways, it's just very frustrating and very stupid. It's just so stupid and annoying.
Yeah, and look, it's better than him just putting out another video calling for them to continue to do this, which by the way, they're planning to do. There's a rally planned for the 19th. that sounds like it's designed to be like this one. And we're very well warned about it now. So surely there's no excuse for the Capitol Police to not be ready. But anyway, he got us to this position, so no credit.
Yeah, the time to focus on a seamless transition is the way everybody else has done it. And that is the moment the election has been really determined and called by the media networks. I hate to break it to you, but like that's how everybody should focus on. That's what everybody should focus on. That's when you need to focus on what America has been great at. Mm-hmm. Like you tweeted something that it is a good idea. It is a good idea to have this much time between the election and when the next person takes power. It has been fine because people at least cherish something on both sides of the aisle, typically, which is the peaceful transfer of power. And I can't tell you how special that is about America traditionally. Like even the Republicaniest of Republicans will tell you that. I'll just show you what it means in generally. Like that's the only, like when you're trying to sell TV shows, you can't sell TV shows that are political, but you can sell them on, like we talked to a production company that was like, yeah, we did one that was on the peaceful transfer of power. And everybody knows and cherishes that.
Yeah, so.
But he doesn't because he never cared. And there's so many people pretending to care right now that don't.
Mm-hmm. I got that tweet. I didn't respond to the tweet. My concern is not just about, you know, 1 in 50 times does it result in a coup attempt. That's also a period of a couple of months where corrupt use of the pardon power is employed, knowing that there's not gonna be any accountability, where executive orders can be passed in the last few minutes. People who would never pass any sort of nominating process can be shoved into different corners of the government to sort of lock in some of the info. There are other things other than just, is there gonna be a coup? I agree,
right, but not in general. You could fix all those things you just mentioned. You could fix all those things.
Sure, let's do that then. Yeah, I agree, let's do
that. I'm with you.
I heard that Trump has a new tone. Dana Bash told me that. So let's check in and see how the new tone is going, since Donald Trump not just has a new tone, he also has access to Twitter again because it's been 12 hours. So here is how he started off the morning. The 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America first, and make America great again, will have a giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form. So there have been only about 1 billion tweets he sent that are worse than that. That's true. And that is not as the, you know, I love you, you're special, what you're doing is totally justified, as his earlier comments were, but it's definitely pointed in that direction. That, you know, he's not saying anything that'll cause the tweet to get taken down, like this thing was robbed, but it was, they were disrespected and treated unfairly. They're not gonna be in the future.
Listen, I don't know. It's so frustrating. He currently, like what he should be doing is shutting down all these people right now and say, we lost fair and square. All evidence points to that. All non-evidence points to something else. They haven't delivered that evidence. But there is no evidence that he was cheated out of diddly squat. And until he says that, he's still committing the same crime that he was committing right when he said at the end of his speech on Wednesday, on Tuesday or whatever day it was, we're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah.
That's the same crime. There is no new tone. The tone is the exact same. The tone is always walking the line between what will get me arrested and what will still have my unhinged supporters in the mindset where they're all about to storm the Capitol and break the windows. Now, the one thing that my opponents essentially have been saying is they'll never go down. You're overreacting. Crystal ball. Oh my God, there you guys, I was promised a coup. Yeah, no, okay, fine. I know what you're doing, but still, like, they were gonna do this. And this is really, really, really bad. And nothing about the president's tone has changed in terms of stoking those people into that, that state of mind. Is Trump responsible for those people? Yes, he is absolutely in every way responsible. And in the same way that I cherish the peaceful transfer of power, there's an instinct in me to say, I hate to do this, but we need to just move on, move past him. But he's not gonna change. He's still doing this. And the worst part about it is he's lying. He's just making it up. So all these people on the right who cherish the exchange of ideas to get to the best conclusion, they're all full of it. Because all of this is based on lies. And now it's even one step removed from the lie. They're using the lie not to any more say like we were cheated out of this election. It's like, well, a lot of people believe we were cheated out of the election. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of your original sin because of you've lying been telling to them. Everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're
well, no, it's the same trick that Fox has pulled for a long time, which is some people are saying. No, you were saying. You said that last night, and now in the morning you can say some people are saying. That's just the same thing. Yeah, they believe they've been cheated. You told them they were cheated. It's the same thing. It's not. Yeah, it's very frustrating. And I don't know how much more cooey it needs to be. Dude's running around with an AR-15. Somebody had 11 Molotov cocktails. They brought multiple bombs. People died. A cop was killed. His head was bashed in with a fire extinguisher, and dozens of other cops. Like, I don't know what. I get it. They didn't have a tank. That's good.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today, and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Brett, let's play a quick game. And the game is called Do We Care? Okay. And the contestant in today's edition of Do We Care is this tweet from Donald Trump, the second tweet this morning.
To all of those who have asked, I will not be going to the inauguration on January 20th.
Do we care?
There is.
We've been talking about the peaceful transfer of power. Them showing up is an element of that.
He needs to show up. He needs to grow up. This is That's something true. That people do. This is everybody since Andrew Johnson, like impeached Andrew Johnson. Everybody's shown up except disgraced leaders. Mm-hmm. You need to do that. You need to show up to the inauguration of your successor. To say, like, that's what's so frustrating is all these people who value America do it in a way that's reminiscent of religion. You know, they say you need to acknowledge something that's greater than yourself. And for many people, that's God. And for a lot of patriots out there, that is the idea of America, the central premises of America. And one of them is no matter what happens, like all these people, I think it was Tucker Carlson back when Black Lives Matter was happening, is crying like you can't do violence in order to solve these problems. You need to use the structures of America as laid down by the founding fathers. And one of those is just showing up at the inauguration and saying, you know what? America is bigger than me. And Trump, nothing's bigger than Trump in his own mind. Not the truth, not America, not God. He doesn't care about anything but himself. And he is going to use all those people that stormed the Capitol, all those ones who thought that by opening the doors of the House of Representatives, They were going to unleash the storm where all the anti-deep state Trump backing QAnoners were going to start an armed execution style takeover of America. And it didn't happen. Why? Not because the state is deeper than we thought, but because Trump has been lying to you since day one.
Yeah.
And now you always were, but now especially, you're responsible for looking around and realizing that this is real life. And your fantasy, while cool in your mind and which makes you feel better and smarter and more special than everyone, is just a fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. They showed up and turned out, oh wait, no, Q was made up the whole time, like we've been trying to tell you. And if someone's watching this and you feel betrayed, and we're gonna turn to the QAnoners who feel betrayed now. This is another time where we tried to help you by telling you the truth. The people that you loved and respected lied to you. Who are you gonna side with going forward? And we already know the answer, honestly.
Do you think anyway, he's not gonna show up because he's scared?
I think he's not gonna show up because he's just too small. No, I think he's just too small. I can't take it. Everybody has difficult moments. Like here's a stupid version. Like let's say hypothetically, like in high school, you used to date someone. Now they're dating someone new, and they're gonna be at the party. Are you gonna go? And you're not dating any. Like it's a little thing like that. Like if you can't like have faith in yourself that your failures don't mean that you're worthless, that you can respect other people's successes. Like little things like that. It's just that, I think. I don't think it's anything other than that. It might be part of the, you know, continuing to farm the grievance of his followers. Going would confirm that he lost in a way that he can't abide. He doesn't think they'll be monetizable if he does that. But I think it's mainly that he's a tiny, tiny little baby man.
I agree.
And it's nothing more dignified than that.
I agree that it's not a choice between those two things. Those things are both happening at the same time. Now we're just saying what percent is each.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, apparently this is like the first time in 150 years that a president hasn't.
Yeah, since Andrew Johnson.
And also, exactly. And bear in mind, you know, he has a new tone, right? In his new tone speech, he said, "This moment calls for healing and reconciliation." A side note, peace. I'm not gonna be there. Well, you could be there. That's part of the healing and reconciliation, right? No, it was just a speech that someone else wrote. Okay. Okay.
You gotta say GGs, and he's not gonna say GGs.
You gotta say GG, okay? Yes. You don't surrender while I'm taking down your Nexus. That's a baby move. Don't do that.
Anyway. Is that a league sitch?
It's a League of Legends thing. Just let me take down the Nexus. I beat you, okay? You're not a bigger man. Donald Trump wants you to believe that he has a new tone, and it's mostly BS. But he did say in that video that we're gonna have a transition of power, which is news to the millions of Americans he's been telling that will definitely not happen. These are people who have more faith in the lies he's been telling them about the election than I don't have that much faith in anyone. But whoever you have faith in, they've got more, put it that way. So this is a difficult time for some of those people. And there are some good researchers who spend a lot of time in some of the forums where the crazies dwell. And so I want to give you a little bit of information about how they're processing this. So Ben Collins, he said that on extremist forums like the Donald and 4chan, they're turning on the president after that video. They're extremely upset at him, Lin Wood, and Q. This appears to be the moment they realize there was no grand plan to win back the election. This may not be permanent, but they feel betrayed. He also says there's been a substantial split tonight. About half of Parler and pro-Trump Facebook is still going with it was Antifa lie. The Donald / 4chan / the other half of Parler are doubling down on storming the Capitol since they organized it there and are turning on Trump. So that has been a disconnect that I have found to be amazing. Like half of the right is like, why aren't I getting enough credit for storming the Capitol? And the other half is like, no, that was all Portland hippies. So that's weird. But anyway, Brett, some of them, like these sorts of conspiracy theories are designed to survive these sorts of checks. The, you know, like the disaster cults that have like a specific date where everything's supposed to end, they don't actually die off after that point. But this feels like at least maybe an opportunity where they need to figure out something new going forward.
Well, I think it was they felt disenfranchised and unheard, and they were for the most part fine with that. The only difference between them then and them now is, well, originally they just didn't really vote. They were like, it's all messed up and we have no hope. And as far as I'm concerned, the world went on. They were just, they were a very passionate, very weird, but at least they didn't have any effect on the needle of America. And I think one takeaway is that Republican ideas are so bad that in, and they know that they're losing votes. They didn't want to have to do this, but eventually they were so bad that not even their own ideas won in their party, right? They were all saying, like, they had 17 candidates up there versus Donald Trump. And none of those 17 could win their party's nomination, just Donald Trump could. And once that happened, now these people are in charge of everything. And Republicans were like, well, if we failed with our own ideas, we have to embrace these crazies. And they did it. And now what is Trump gonna do? I think he's just gonna try to market to them. I don't think he wants to do the hard work of politics for anyone else. He'll do it, give himself an excuse of failure and just siphon money away from the Republican Party to his own pocket, period.
Yeah, it's possible that he just fundraises from here on out. And like, and the fundraising is to fight things. Yeah, I think that he could very well run. I don't think he's really running. We'll see, things can change. He's gonna be so old. And like, some people manage it much better than others. Tommy Lasorda made it to 93. I'm looking at Trump and I don't think that foundation is making it to 90. I just don't think that it's gonna happen.
There's not much difference between Tommy Lasorda and Donald Trump in terms of how they treat their bodies.
But didn't Tommy Lasorda eventually take it more seriously?
Yes, he did advocate the value of one shake for breakfast, another for lunch, and then a sensible dinner, even pasta. But there he did kind of have, as Brandon pointed out in the pre-show, a bunch of heart attacks.
Exactly, yeah. Let's get into some of the other theories, because this is a difficult thing to process. And this is a group of people who have designed their entire life around not having to process difficult things. So they're not great at it. But according to Ben Collins, there are conspiracy theories. Some can't believe the president wouldn't support the same storming of the Capitol they believe he explicitly called for. So they're saying the video is a deep fake or he's being threatened by the deep state. Something deep is going on, deep crows, I don't know. But it's either not actually him in the video or he's being threatened by the deep state, which again, based on your worldview, that is not an answer. Because you believe he's been maneuvering behind the scenes for 4 years with JFK Jr. and all these other, and Gandalf, and they're gonna take down the deep state. What, he can just be threatened into submission? That doesn't fit in with the whole Q thing at all. But the idea that it is just a deep fake, that it's not actually him, that like they, that is a classic diversion tactic. We didn't actually lose. It's not actually him in the video. Hillary Clinton is actually already arrested. They thought RBG died 3 years ago. Everything's whatever it needs to be.
Right. What, and then you have to just ask yourself, what is the point for them? What did they think the point of it is? And for a lot of them, I think it's just a sense of community. There was something amazing that was happening on that I saw on Reddit today. It's like one of those posts from, I don't know if you can see it. It's got like the,
I can't see it.
Anyways, it's got a, it's, this is someone on, I think it's 4chan or I don't know, 4chan. Saying, imagine spending the better part of the last 5 years having your brain and ego melted by uninterrupted slash poll exposure. Flying to Washington in the middle of a pandemic to hear Trump whine about Oprah and Mike Pence at a rally. Marching up to Congress on his orders to smash stuff and then mill around aimlessly. You go home and hear that Biden won already, and all of your favorite Twitter news sources named like Patriot Newsman of the West with avatars of Roman statues have posted your photo online and are labeling you a quote gay communist Antifa actor. Because a lot of them have, but based on what you're saying, they're like, well, there's gotta be an explanation. Let's look at all the people in the crowd. Oh, that's a gay communist Antifa agitator. But that's not, we all know that's not. No one would do that. It's just the only people crazy enough to do something like that by QAnon conspiracy theory, hook, line, and sinker. And they're there and they're gonna see themselves on these sites. being pointed out as the by Fox News, which is fine because now Fox News is on the other side. That's a big enough entity to throw under the bus. But now the Patriot Newsman of America is also calling you a gay communist Antifa agitator. Then the next day, the God Emperor you pasted into Warhammer memes puts out a video cucking himself and bending the knee. I'm sorry, those were heinous acts. Papa, please let me back on Twitter again, Jack. You can't leave DC because the airlines have dubbed you a flight risk. Because the flight attendant union is trying to get them to stop, to not be able to fly home. You can't stay because the cops are actively looking for you after one of their own died. Your roommate at the only hotel that would accept you is a guy named Based Kekistani 1488. Who wants to show you his Goblin Slayer torrents. The sun is going down and you're getting cold. This is one of the best pieces of political writing I've seen in a while.
It's better than Twilight.
Almost better than Twilight. Better than obviously, I've only watched the Twilight movies. Because you have, if you read it, you realize it gets, and I mean every
I'm doing kind what of you shouldn't do. I didn't read it or watch it. I watched True Blood though, it's basically the same thing, right?
I've been rewatching True Blood a little bit.
Anyway, I might actually, at least the first season or two.
It's really good.
The fact that so many of the, you're seeing them in the video right now, these people were able to break into and deface and defile and shed blood inside the Capitol building has been suspicious from the very beginning. And some new details are starting to come out. It's a complicated picture, but we're starting to learn a little bit more about all that happened. So apparently, 3 days before supporters of Donald Trump rioted at the Capitol, the Pentagon asked the US Capitol Police if it needed National Guard manpower. And as the mob descended on the building Wednesday, Justice Department leaders reached out to offer FBI agents. The police turned them down both times, according to senior defense officials and two people familiar with the matter. The result is the US Capitol was overrun Wednesday, and officers in a law enforcement agency with a large operating budget and experience in high security events protecting lawmakers were overwhelmed for the world to see. Four protesters died, including one shot inside the building. A Capitol Police officer died Thursday after being injured on Wednesday as well. And you saw the videos, by the way. The barricades were set up, but police retreated from the line. They're not even saying in this graphic, but we've seen video of the barricades being opened up for them. More video came out yesterday of cops seeming to wave the protesters towards the buildings. And we've got more there too, but look, obviously this is not a thing where the police were totally in line with what was happening. Police were injured. One cop was killed. And so that blood is on the hands of these people that talk constantly about how blue lives matter and all of that. But there's a lot of reason to believe that this was not some sort of accident, that we didn't just happen to not have enough security set up, that various elements were okay with this going along for whatever reason, and we'll see.
Well, it's that the benefit of the benefit of the benefit of the doubt that you can give them is taking some of these folks at their word that they're like, listen, we saw what happened in Portland when Trump unleashed federal troops on everyone. And we didn't want to have that double standard. The problem is you already do have a double standard. You're just not like acknowledging the right one. And the double standard is not necessarily that you would one double standard you have is like someone's unleashing the federal troops on protesters. Just the black ones. And the other thing that you're misunderstanding is that like these folks are violent. Mm-hmm. Like the Trump people were violent. They did bash a police officer over the head. And the other thing that's very frustrating about it is, I don't know, this is probably more of a media criticism, but the media, people like Tucker Carlson, people who watch Happy Half Hour got a little too into on Wednesday, just got a little too into Tucker Carlson. But Tucker Carlson says, like, if it's a white protester, I'm gonna take a moment, look past the violence and say, oh, what is really getting these people upset? The nonviolent ones, the ones who are decent, because I can say that a small group doesn't represent the entire movement. But when it comes to black protesters, oh, the violent ones are all of them, all of them. You seldom, the thing I'll give Trump's time credit for is seldom have we had such like a very clear experiment, almost like following explicitly the scientific method. We have utterly analogous things and we have controls. We have ways to say, what is the difference here? And sadly, it confirms our hypothesis, which was there is systemic racism in America. And the media is complicit in perpetrating it and creating bubbles that excuse what white people do, but not what people who aren't white do.
Yeah.
It's nuts, man.
And now, I mean, and the thing is, like we've been saying all throughout today, there are more of these events coming. Like, it wouldn't, even if they get it right then, it doesn't in any way, it doesn't bring people back from the dead from this event. But like, are we 100% sure that they're gonna take it seriously?
Well, this is how, this was history. Like, that's the thing, is along the way, it's so frustrating because we all saw it, we all called it out. And there's plenty of people like, don't worry about it. But that's how history happens. It's not someone says, hey, like on 9/10, you didn't know about 9/11, right? It just kind of happened. And now it's such a real thing that you look back on as a significant thing in history. Yeah. This is something that on you know, the day before it happened, everybody was still like, Trump's gonna go. He's been stoking violence. There has been a movement that's going to do something like this. And yes, for some people, they're saying, there's some people can look at it and say, you know, there's just like a one guy with a weird Viking hat on, and that's not it. And also he's with Antifa, but no. This is history. This is a time we can now say that very recently, unhinged wackos who were against the very fibers of democracy stormed the Capitol building with the intent to take people, our elected representatives hostage, which is already insane. But it's also for something like just following the Constitution is why they did it. That's what was happening.
Well,
the specific event was following the process set out in the Constitution. That's what they were upset with.
They thought that that could be reversed. And they thought that because they were told that by people they trusted. People like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and Donald Trump and all of them. And Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley and all of that. They thought this could work because they were told it could work. Now, CNN had interviews with some of the maniacs who were involved in the violence on Wednesday. And there's some interesting stuff in here, including more evidence that some of the Capitol Police seem to be at least, at the very least, sympathetic towards what was going on.
Supposed to do, okay? The Supreme Court's not helping us. No one's helping us. Only us can help us. Okay. Only we can do it.
Let's have trial by combat.
He just said trial by combat. I'm ready. We broke down the barriers and we rushed them, we charged them. We got all the way to the steps and made a line. So we stood there and we tried to push them back a little bit until finally they started getting rough with us. So we kind of pushed them back. So that's what we did. We pushed them back. We tried to get up the steps. They wouldn't let us up. So then they started pepper spraying and macing everybody.
Thank you.
Are you okay?
Get some milk in your eyes.
They maced me.
Milk.
They pushed me out and they maced me.
Then I walked in and there's just a whole bunch of people lighting up in some Oregon room. I don't know if it's an Oregon, just tons of Oregon paintings, but they were smoking a bunch of weed in there. And then we moved it down. Showing the statues, cops are very cool. They're like, hey guys, have a good night. Some of them, it's just crazy. It's really weird. You can see that some of them are on our side.
There's a bunch of really, really pissed off regular folks. I get a job. This is Wednesday. I'm supposed to be at work. Yeah.
I mean, John, to what extent do you think that quarantine affected this? Like these folks, it used to be you were just like in a metaphorical bubble, and now you're in a literal bubble as well.
I'm gonna guess, Brett, that these people were less than fully diligent when it came to COVID.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why those things should be like a perfect overlapping Venn diagram? Not necessarily, except for the complete lack of masks that I see there. But I'm gonna guess that those people were not taking it super seriously. But anyway, and by the way, you have all sorts of crazies there. A ton of QAnon, very heavy QAnon. But these are not just wacko, you know, poor Republicans. You had CEOs of companies flying in to sack the Capitol. Like these are right wingers of every stripe. And remember, like it you can watch videos like that and think, oh, haha, some of them were lighting up. Yeah, and some of them were murdering cops. And some of them were trying to kidnap elected officials. Like God only knows what would have happened if they had gotten to Nancy Pelosi or even Mike Pence, since one of the craziest people, Lynn Wood, has been specifically saying that Pence needs to be executed because he's one of the many people in government who has raped and murdered children on tape. So when they went there with guns and bombs and Molotov cocktails and zip ties and all of that, They thankfully didn't get the Electoral College ballots, and they thankfully didn't take or hold any hostages. But clearly, that's what some of them were intending to do.
Here's what's frustrating, is usually with a group of protesters, you can say, well, they're right about one thing. One thing. Like you can say, well, they're right about, you know, if you hate Black Lives Matter, you can say, well, they're right about one thing, that cops do shoot a lot of black people, right? You can say, oh, I mean, even with like anti, you know, pro-lifers, I'm like, they're right about one thing. That's a very intense decision, and their religion is saying that it's murder. Like, at least I understand that there are facts there that are like, there was a pregnancy and then there's not a pregnancy. I have a ton of reasons why they're wrong about that, but I get it. Like, they're right about one thing, guns are cool and they're fun. Like, I get gun protesters, they're right about one thing. There is something, a very weird amendment to the Constitution about the right to bear arms, and it's worded very weirdly, but there is something in there. I get it. That's the right about one. These folks are not right about one thing.
Yeah.
When Tucker Carlson was excusing, he's like, oh, they're so frustrated. And you know, when Tucker Carlson was laying out the general dynamic for essentially saying, I can tell the people who are violent that they're wrong and then try to understand the fundamental premise of a protest. He's right about that, but
yeah,
on the specific merits of the arguments, these QAnon people are spouting utter nonsense. They are wildly unhinged. Every bit of, and even the ones that are pretending to care, that are talking about voter fraud and making sure that our elections are secure, there's no evidence to that. They're not basing any of this in reality. That's what's so frustrating about it. They don't seem to see that. This, you can discredit this whole movement because not one person from it is making a lick of sense.
Yeah, and importantly, they are not going anywhere. First of all, Trump's not going anywhere, but even if he did, like, it would be great to think, oh, this whole Q thing that I assumed would have fallen apart a couple of years ago will just be gone once it doesn't have Trump. No, there is a benefit to putting together a group of the most gullible people in the entire country. And it is that they are malleable to your will. And so whoever is running that whole thing and whoever's benefiting from it, they're going to do that. They're going to continue to do that. Even if Trump died today, they'll find some other person that's theoretically going to make everything that you want about the world come true and kill everyone that you think is a pedophile. There's going to be somebody that's going to do that.
It's anyway. So crazy. Here's something to take away from it, is these guys decided to storm and infiltrate the White House with a QAnon person. You know, a bunch of QAnon people tried to get inside the White House, but they already had infiltrated the Capitol. They had Trump. Trump was in there. Yes, they're not going away, but they'd already infiltrated like the seats of power by having Trump be a supporter. Luckily, Trump is someone who is only ever using them. Yeah. And the only thing he gave anyone besides rhetoric, which is all they care about, they just want to feel good. They don't want change. If they had everything solved, they wouldn't be happy. They wouldn't have anything to complain about. But it's just very frustrating.
It is. In the run up to the election, we spent a good amount of time, including a big section of one of the episodes of Truth Serum, talking about some of the propositions. California is a state that loves to do big things via proposition that can be incredibly impactful. And we now are experiencing one of the almost immediate impacts of Prop 22 in this case. Albertsons, which is a grocery store chain in California, if you're not familiar with it, and some of its subsidiaries, including Vons and Pavilions, are discontinuing their in-house delivery services in parts of California and other states starting in February. The grocery chains will instead rely more heavily on third-party delivery apps, including DoorDash, to handle grocery deliveries. That's according to Knopf. The move comes weeks after a new California law went into effect that eliminated labor protections for app-based food delivery workers and rideshare drivers, which was authored and bankrolled by gig companies. And by the way, those companies put together a $200 million assault to try to get Proposition 22 passed. And so now a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. They had said while they were campaigning for it that it would save 900,000 jobs. But instead, all of those people who formerly had worked for all of these grocery stores are all being fired, every single one of them. And now it's going to go to these services where, yes, people will be working for those, that's true, but they also won't be getting the sorts of benefits that they might if 22 hadn't passed.
and their decades long union contracts are just gone. That's the thing. I mean, over time it goes up and down, and there's strikes and fights, but like those aren't bad jobs. Like a checkout person or someone who works with a supermarket, those aren't terrible jobs. Like those, I know some people who, you know, that's how they paid their way through college. And like that, all that happened was these giant companies didn't want to pay their employees. These giant companies. Now Whole Foods is like is Amazon. They didn't want to pay their employees. They saw an out, so they spent $200 million, which means they're going to probably make more than that as a result of this.
Yeah.
Only two. So they got people off of their payroll because there's a better, easier, cheaper way to do it.
Cheaper.
For them. It's a better, easier, cheaper way to do it because they don't have to handle any of that. Someone does a deal that essentially throws all the rights, like all the liabilities, all the insurance that they have to pay for the delivery itself onto DoorDash. And that's it. And DoorDash is like, cool, more people to pay, less than they'd make at Pavilions, but at least I get to make some of that now. And I gobble up my competition. And this again, like, there was a time when I was like, well, the gig economy people should probably get behind so that they stop getting all this negative press. They should probably get behind some kind of Medicare for all single payer system. Because what's crazy about this, like this, these kinds of tricks are why we need something like a single payer system.
Totally.
So that we just go, all right, here, whatever you did to make your profits, here's your tax rate. And that's going to finance a situation where now that gig worker can just go to the job that pays them best or whatever. And then when they get sick, if they get sick, they just go to the doctor and it is paid for. It is paid for. It's not free. It's paid for.
By those people. Like, yes.
The argument is like all these big companies pay taxes, and a lot of them that are paying full-time employees are paying for the insurance of their employees anyway. I mean, that's what's happening. We would just find a provably cheaper way to do that by and large for the economy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm glad that you mentioned that because we've had obviously multiple reminders this year of why tying health insurance to employment is such a terrible idea. Here's a good one. You've got, you know, so many people lost their jobs during the pandemic. So in the time of this crisis of public health, they also don't have access to healthcare because they're losing their jobs. Even like, it's so stupid. This is how wide it is. Some anonymous people in the Trump administration have said that they're not going to step down because they don't want to lose access to their health insurance before the inauguration. They want to have a couple more weeks of health insurance. And these are all wealthy, well-connected people, but even they are being affected by it. It doesn't make any sense. But specifically to this, it was so obvious what effect this proposition was going to have. The ads were so disingenuous about it. So much money was spent. And now we're seeing it, and it's so hard to fight against because the corporations are always going to have a much bigger financial, not just incentive, but advantage in fighting for these sorts of things than those who are going to try to stand for workers and stop them. In this particular case, though, it's even more disgusting. I'm going to skip to the last graphic in this block because remember, these are people who deliver for grocery stores. And you remember this whole last year that we've had? We're like, we have a lot of respect for different sorts of people who have been able to keep us alive and functioning and all that. So they had been saying how much they cared about these people at these companies. Earlier this year, Albertsons Company's president, CEO Vivek Sankaran said the company was taking care of our team. Albertsons companies are working to ensure that every member of our team who faces a crisis can have peace of mind that we will help get them through it. And then as soon as we're through it, you're gone. We're gonna cut all your jobs, you're gone. Hey, maybe you can go work for, you know, one of these companies doing deliveries or something like that, but not for us. And previously, people of California, which could have used these things anyway. You can use Postmates already, but you also had access to a union alternative. You now won't have that, at least for this chain.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And they're doing what makes sense given the fact that this horribly misleading ad campaign was successful. And when they did it, they used a bunch of like, hey, I'm just a gig worker. Like I like making my own hours. I don't want all the restrictions that come with being a full-time employee.
Yep.
Like
he was so disingenuous.
It was so bad. I get it, but and that only worked.
Can't wait to see what happens with the other ones.
And that got other people fired from places that essentially also you would think that job as a delivery person for a supermarket, like supermarkets are still okay in all this time. That's the thing. It was even in the industries you would assume would be insulated from the economic fallout of coronavirus, this was able to happen. It's sick.
Yeah, it is. It's the end of the week, and so it's time to take out the trash. Okay, so this week for my garbage person, I've got two, but they're basically going in for the exact same reason, so I don't feel that bad about it. If you were trying to predict, you probably were pretty accurate this week in who my garbage person is going to be, and there were a lot, but I have to fit in because we haven't talked about them otherwise. The first one is this fool. Josh Hawley is gonna go in the trash. He's gonna have some company in just a second. But why is he there? He's there because coming out of this week where the Capitol was damaged, people were killed. What is he worried about? He's worried about the fact that his active participation in this event, both in terms of trying to cancel people's votes as an elected official, but also literally cheering on the mob the morning of, has caused him to lose a book deal, and he thinks that's crazy. There's nothing that could be more Orwellian. I think something could be. I think we could. You're the smart guy. You went to the Ivy League school. But I feel like something could be more Orwellian than that. But anyway, he put out his statement on the woke mob, and it's really that part that makes it so he has to go in the trash, because we had a mob, Josh Hawley, and it's not the woke mob at Simon and Schuster. No, it's the people that you're desperate to get to vote for you in a few years that you cheered on. As crazy as they were, that resulted in a cop being killed, dozens of others being beaten, other people dying as well. But this is what he's worried about the day after that, that he temporarily lost access to a book deal. Some other publisher is gonna give him another deal, and he knows that. And he knows that it getting canceled is better for him in terms of right-wing BS clout than publishing the book no one would actually read anyway. But this is what he is presenting as the big injustice of this week, and so he is absolute trash. Now, Brett, I do wanna give, because we've been going back and forth, and how do we recognize the good people? So I do have a good person in this case, and it's the person who's trying to get him out of office. That is Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who responded to him saying, "You fist pumped insurrectionists and baselessly attacked our elections. Your actions fueled a riot and you fundraised in the chaos. 5 people are dead. Even your GOP colleagues have distanced from your acts. Yet here you are crying over a book deal. You should be expelled." And she's 100% right. But Josh Hawley's not the only one who, by the way, right after that violence, went right back in there and just kept doing their little campaigning thing, trying to cancel the votes. Ted Cruz did too. And so AOC had earlier this week called for him to resign. He attacked her online saying she's a liar, which by the way is why this possum faced traitor is also going to be garbage today. So I'm just gonna put him in there. He says, "You're a liar. Leading a debate in the Senate on ensuring election integrity is doing our job. And it's in no way responsible for the despicable terrorists who attacked the Capitol yesterday. Those despicable terrorists who I desperately hope support me in the primary in a few years. And sorry, I ain't going anywhere. When you and your socialist buddies," I cut him off there. I don't care what the rest of that nonsense is. He doesn't believe anything he's saying. He's absolute garbage and trash. Who, by the way, is already doing the thing I said he's gonna do, where he tries to pretend that, you know, he stood up to Trump during this. He said, I think it was earlier today, "I've always spoken out against his rhetoric and language." No, you didn't do nothing. You didn't speak. You coward. You licked. Licking isn't talking. You licked, though.
You raised money, buddy. You made the calls. Money.
Well, and she points out, let's go to this. Just one more tweet. She said, "Oh, you're accusing me of lying? Isn't this you? Your campaign sent out this fundraising message as people were sieging the Capitol. You claimed to be leading the fight to reject electors. Clash has started around 1:20. This message was sent after the Capitol was breached." And yeah, he was fundraising literally as people were, you know, gallivanting through the halls of Congress and people were dying. He was trying to make money off of it because there is nothing in there. There is a little bit of dead ferret that's been pasted on his face, or what passes for a face, and grift. That's it. That's all that there is there. A little bit of oily grift. And I'm glad that AOC is pointing it out.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much there.
Pitch.
First, Josh Hawley.
Enjoy it.
Did you say the pitch? What? What did you say?
It's garbage. I'm hoping garbage. He enjoys garbage.
Oh. Yeah.
So tell me about Josh Hawley.
Josh Hawley. What's hilarious to me when it comes to like book deals and Twitter and private companies refusing service to you, it's like that's the free market economy saying, I think this guy will affect my bottom line.
Yep.
I mean, that's what's happening. That's what a company is making the decision to do. It's a private company making a decision. And they're all against, oh, it's a violation of my rights if you refuse service to me. Well, that's what a gay couple said to a cake maker. Why aren't you standing up for the gay couple's rights? You're refusing service to me because of who I am and what I choose to do all day is just be gay. Like, and Josh Hawley's like, no, we can refuse service to you as a private company. Well, so can Simon and Schuster, you big doink. And I love all the faces on all these people, Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, who now unfortunately have that ad that can be completely played against them, which is here's what they were doing while this was happening at the Capitol.
Yeah. Yep.
Why? And then this police officer died because they relied on the thankless job of sanity. They don't want to win. They already lost. These people already lost. Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz think they have 1/80th the charisma and the dumps and the instincts of Donald Trump. I'm sorry, he's really good at this stuff. And these two are absolutely not. And and Donald Trump just went wherever he's like daredevil. Like he has no sense, but he somehow can feel around and totally know where the political room is, how the political room is situated. These two are not going to be able to harness that. And worse, the people they're harnessing have already gone too far. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work out for them. There is no way that Josh Hawley is going to pull it up. So they're all flailing to like scoop up and reframe this as fast as they can into a, it's not what it looks like. Actually, I'm not fighting for Donald Trump anymore because he's the one, and Tucker's doing this too, because Trump's the one. They're all turning on him. Trump's, Kevin McCarthy, same thing. Trump's the one who's inciting the violence, not me. I'm fighting for voting rights. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. If they won this independent commission to oversee voting, that would be the biggest own goal in Republican history, to put on some kind of federal commission to regulate voting around the country. The moment the Democrats are taking over all chambers of the legislative and executive branch. No, and even that idea goes against Republicans. The Republicans, these Republican traitors, Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz, under the false flag of Republicanism, are actually doing something that they've accused Democrats of doing forever, which is, oh, DC is gonna come in and tell us how to vote. Virginia knows how to vote. Pennsylvania knows how to vote. Let the legislators do it. And you know what? A federal oversight board of voting, voting reform would do, they would go and expose everything that you did, that Republicans have been doing. There's always, whether it was a Democrat group before the Civil War or a Republican group ever freaking since, that there's always someone in America trying to take voting rights away from people and maintain power. Yeah. And that's what the Republicans have been doing by purging voter rolls, by making it more difficult to vote. And if the Democrats are in charge, they're just going to completely undo all the damage that you've been doing. But no, they don't want to win. They don't want to win this battle. They want to win future battles. And they need, their ideas are so stupid, they need to harness Trumpists in order to get enough votes to survive. And JR referenced in the morning, I was trying to figure out what the best thing is, and he pointed out a Chris Rock reference. They're all realizing that these Trumpists went crazy. It's like when you're saying someone says a tiger went crazy. No, that tiger went tiger.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And these guys, they got a tiger by the tail, and they don't know what to do with it. And they're flailing because they didn't think. They were relying on the thankless job of sanity of everybody else to keep this in check. All the people that were like, this is gonna get out of hand, and it did get out of hand. And now they don't know what to do, and they think they can revert. Ted Cruz, I mean, there's so many reasons why, like, I hate to say it, but like a Cuban American can talk about like, these crazy people are storming your house. They're storming the seat of power and trying to overthrow the democratic process. Like, that is, if I heard, like, all the Cubans I know were like, that kind of behavior is horrible. He now is going to say, oh no, these folks, the socialists like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are gonna make, he's going to like these really sad, tired, false attacks at the same time that his people are breaking down the windows of Congress to expose some kind of pedophilia. Like, what are you talking about? Anyway, sorry. Yeah.
Well, is this sounds like you secretly wish this was your garbage person.
My garbage person is the other kind. It's Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham is my garbage person. I don't have a photo, but I do have a montage. Lindsey Graham has complete, he came out yesterday. No, sorry, spoke too soon. Lindsey Graham came before every, no, he came before, that's gonna sound weird too. Lindsey Graham appeared before everyone in America to pretend that he didn't know that Donald Trump was a psychopath. And he is now, in a very slithery Lindsey Graham way, decided to slither away from Donald Trump and pretend once again that he has been consistent this whole time. But all you need to do is go back through Lindsey Graham's history. This guy who said recently that Trump's acts are what's wrong. This soiled the last 4 years, this last little bit. We're gonna end with that clip of what Lindsey Graham said yesterday. But the lead up to it is Lindsey before the election, before Trump was president, while he's president, and then the minute he loses power. Take a look.
So here's what I think. I think Donald Trump is a political car wreck and he shouldn't be commander in chief. He's becoming a jackass. He's a race baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. He doesn't represent my party. He doesn't represent the values that the men and women who wear the uniform are fighting for. And you know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
You tweeted on lynching this morning, comparing it to his impeachment inquiry. What is your reaction to that?
I think that's pretty well accurate. So yeah, this is a lynching in every sense. This is un-American. He keeps telling me that the phone call was perfect. I'm saying, Mr. President, the phone call was okay with me.
I'm a Marine, I went to Iraq. And I believe, as I believe that you do, that President Trump is not acting in accordance to his oath. You took an idea to defend the Constitution. You took an oath.
I mean, you have.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Looked like a fun day.
It was a fun day, and Trump's the best golfer. You're the best golfer.
By far.
It's been an amazing 4 years in terms of judges, securing the border, on and on and on. Was tarnished by yesterday. When it comes to accountability, the president needs to understand that his actions were the problem, not the solution. That the rally yesterday was unseemly, it got out of hand, and a good friend of mine, Rudy Giuliani, did not help.
Oh, got out of hand, did it?
Got out of so hand, bad.
Rowdy.
It's so bad. I'm sorry, I want to get this quote from Lindsey Graham. But like today, after Trump made the statement that we played earlier on in the show, Lindsey Graham turns around and essentially says, oh, really, Trump really hit the right tone here of reconciliation and everything. This guy only ever says to himself, not what's best for the country, but what's best for me, Lindsey Graham. How do I, he has admitted this, how do I personally stay relevant? And it's by doing this insanity. People in American political discourse who stay consistent over the years still face people saying, you are a hypocrite. Even if they do stay consistent, how can people like Lindsey Graham, and as you mentioned, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, how do they stay in power being so obviously and provably flippy floppy and hypocritical? It's sick, it's sad, it's sick. And one of the reasons is just name recognition, party affiliation, tribalism. Guess, yeah.
Money.
Money.
Yeah.
Which is now like, yes,
He debased himself for literally years. Like we I think rightfully focus on Ted Cruz doing that. But Ted Cruz is more sad because Ted Cruz was personally insulted more by Trump. But Lindsey Graham is a different, he's less sad in that like he's debasing himself to someone who's personally attacked him so much, even though there's been a little bit of that. He's more pathetic in that this is a person who he had pretended to be strong in opposing. And then suddenly he's the best golfer and he's so great. And he just has a smell that like just you obsess over it. Like, yeah, it's pathetic in a different way. And now to pretend that he's taking Trump seriously or was a check on him. When by the way, he's also saying that he shouldn't be prematurely removed. Like he's saying, oh, he was so unhelpful on Wednesday. People got rowdy, but don't actually take him out. Let's just keep going the way we were going.
Yeah.
It's all performative.
President Real Donald Trump's statement tonight urging the country to move forward and heal was much needed and hit the mark. Well done, Mr. President. That's what he tweeted and got ratioed at a 2-1.
Okay, well, that's good. That may make it worthwhile at the end of the day.
Such a piece.
Okay, definitely garbage person. Glad that we didn't miss him. Do you want to know who the community chose?
Yes, desperately.
Okay, one more garbage person for you. 28,000 of you voted this week on our community tab. And coming in at number 5 for the week, we have at 5% of the vote, my garbage person, Josh Hawley, for continuing to object to the election results. At 7% of the vote, you have the actual insurrectionists for storming the Capitol. They're at number 4. Number 3, we have a tie actually, 2 and 3. The Republicans for staying silent during an attempted coup and the Capitol Police for putting white privilege on display, both at 13% of the vote. But the number 1 garbage person of the week, maybe for the last time ever, President Trump at 62% of the vote for inciting and encouraging violence. And that's a great point because the insurrectionists are the ones who did it, but they wouldn't have done it if he hadn't told them to. So very much a garbage person. We'll have to see if Trump is able to make it into the top 5 again. But thank you to the 28,000 of you who voted this week. And with that, Brett, thank you for joining us on the show. I know we're all looking forward to later on today when Common Room will return to Twitch.
It'll be fantastic. And we got a really packed TYT today. John, Alonzo Bowden, and Viviana Vigil, first hour. Second hour is Anna,
awesome.
Frederick T. Joseph, and Farron Cousins. Big time.
Wow, look at that. That's a big set of power panels there. Coming up very soon. Brett, thank you. Stay safe.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.